I love food. Food is actually my love language. So there probably are a few food items, the words that would elicit such great joy and excitement. I do love cereal. That's one. But I could go on and on. Chocolate, coffee. These are words that give me great joy. But there aren't that many words that I would think universally people react to as much as Friday. Friday. It's not only a football Friday, it's a Hall of Fame. Nope, I did it wrong. It's a Hall of Flame. Well, it's the After Hours Hall of Fame. It's a Hall of Flame Friday, and we're asking for you to vote for the candidate that most deserves to be immortalized in the After Hours Hall of Flame. We've got the poll up at Amy After Hours, or my Twix. Twix. See, there's another one. That's another good word that probably gets a positive reaction if you're... Let's say you're hooked up to machines and your body's reacting when you hear this word that brings you joy.
I'll tell you, Twix does bring me joy, aside from what we use it as. But like the candy is beautiful. Such a beautiful candy.
Oh, yeah. No, I was referring to the candy. Twix, the social media site, does not give me joy. It actually gives me agita more than anything else. Yeah.
We were thinking the same thing. We took different paths.
The day I quit my radio career or decide that I'm done and retire is the day that I log out of that account and never go back. No, thank you. You all can check it out once I'm gone.
We'll see you tomorrow night.
It'll be my legacy in social media. No, I meant Twix, the candy bar. But yes, Twix at A-Law Radio and our Facebook page, too. You can vote for both the After Hours Hall of Flame inductee as well as the Game of the Week.
Now Twix, before you, real quick about Twix. There is a coffee shop by my house that makes Twix coffee.
Nice.
And my wife loves it. Mm. My wife loves it. I don't drink coffee, but I did, I would have that probably.
So you don't need caffeine for these hours?
I drink tea.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
That's my caffeine.
I've seen the Snickers creamer.
Yes.
And the Twix creamer. And the Twinkie creamer was my favorite. They generally do have candy bar type creamers that you could put in your coffee. Routinely, right now, pumpkin's a pretty popular one, but they're getting into peppermint mocha and some of the others for the holiday. Eggnog. That's not my thing. I might be the only person on the planet who... doesn't like eggnog, doesn't like mint. Those are two things I don't like. Yeah, and just those two flavors.
I've never had eggnog, so I can't not like
it. Oh, and doesn't eat hot dogs. How about that? Those three things.
I see a lot of people doing that.
A food tangent. It's fairly common here on After Hours. But we're going to get back to the game of the week because we did start the poll early so that we could include Commanders and... Eagles coming from Philadelphia. In fact, we're going to go to Philadelphia in 20 minutes to talk to our friend John Kincaid, who was at the game last night. This was a relatively slow start, actually, for both offenses. So credit the defense, I suppose. But there were missed opportunities with the two offenses. The Commanders were up 7-3 at the break. That's it, 7-3. Jake Elliott, not a banner night for him. He missed a couple of field goals early. But what I was wanting from the Commanders, and I needed to see, after their game against the Steelers, in which they didn't have a fourth quarter that would indicate they're ready to face the toughest teams in the NFL. They did not finish strong, and I wanted to see that from them against the Eagles. Well, it was the opposite. The Eagles finished strong, the Commanders did not. And in these fourth quarters where the games are hanging in the balance, sometimes it's a sign of a veteran team, an experienced team. I know the Commanders gave us the Noah Brown Hail Mary a couple of weeks ago against those Chicago Bears. But to be fair, it wasn't played well by the Bears. Now, granted, Jaden extended the play for, 13 seconds? He was able to move around, extend, evade, escape, and then launch. The Commanders get all the credit in the world for actually having a dude in place and getting that ball tipped up in the air so that Noah Brown could catch it. The Bears dropped the ball in that moment. We know they did. That's not going to happen a lot. That's not how you win games on a regular basis. The Commanders have got to finish strong in these games. And against the Steelers, you know, they really had missed opportunities in the fourth quarter. And against the Eagles, when we saw the Eagles start to find that rhythm, that groove, use their possessions to put points on the board, it was the opposite with the Commanders and a stark contrast. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Did you know that Jalen Hurts is up to his old tricks, the kind we saw when they went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
Hurts under center. Hurts sneaks. And it is a touchdown. The Eagles score and take the lead. For Jalen Hurts, that is...
That's more like...
The 11th touchdown he has scored.
A lot of them, probably of the 1 yard or 1.5 yard variety. I don't know how many, but I'll guess half of them are tush pushes. It's not something I need to be saying a lot. Things could go horribly wrong. So we're not going to say it many more times. We're just going to say it's a 1 yard TD with the help from his friends.
Well, continuously.
Now, I honestly thought the turning point could be when Jake Elliott missed another kick. He ends up biffing the extra point. And so instead of being up by 3, the Eagles are leading 12-10. But the seminal moment instead comes on 4th down, the very next possession. There are about 8 minutes to go, and the Commanders decide they're going to be aggressive.
They need almost 2 yards. Instead of trying for a game-changing field goal that would give them a one-point lead, they're going to go on 4th and 2. Daniels under center. Daniels puts a man in motion. Daniels is back. He's being chased. He's running. He's being pushed. He's knocked out of bounds. The Eagles take over on downs. The Eagles take over on downs.
Merrill Reese, Mike Quick on Eagles radio. So that's an interesting choice. Now, granted, Dan Quinn, he's an aggressive guy. We know that. He likes to go for it on 4th down. He likes their odds, if you will, on 4th down, whether it's analytics, whether it's the personnel. Yeah, he's good with believing in his team on 4th down. And most quarterbacks will tell you they appreciate that too. Issue is, of course, you leave a field goal out there. And instead of being ahead 13-12, well, now you're still trailing by 2. And the Eagles get the ball back with a very short distance to go to the end zone themselves.
Biggest play, obviously, to go for it and 4th down and 2 at the 26. Bold call, but I would also say we're prepared for that moment. Don't love the execution, but we've been an excellent 4th down team. So going into it, we knew we'd have to take our shots against a tough division team on the road. We thought that was an appropriate one. Certainly don't like the execution and the result, but we were prepared for that and being bold into those moments, knowing we'd have some 4th downs. But that's one we can fix.
I mean, I trust the coaching staff and the decision they make. I'm always a part of, hey, let's go for it. You know, I trust my teammates. I trust the unit. So I always trust the coaches. I never question them. I got to be louder with the cadence. So I take fault on that. Tyler probably didn't hear me, so it was the delay with the little snap. So it gets loud down there. You know, we're under center, especially in that type of situation, that part of the game. So I just have to be louder.
Well, that is a nod to the Eagles fans who made that miserable, that play miserable. And yeah, there was definitely a bobbled exchange, if you will. And the timing was off because the ball ends up hitting one of the offensive linemen. And then Jaden really doesn't have many options. Whatever they were going to do on the play, maybe they were going to go north-south, he has to run around the outside to the right. And while he was able to get somewhat of an angle, he never could truly turn upfield. And so he gets knocked out of bounds. Also not something you want with your rookie quarterback taking a tough hit to get knocked out of bounds on his face, essentially. But a fair hit because he was a running back at that point. And so the Eagles are able to come up with the stop on 4th down. After that, here's what you need to know. Saquon Barkley.
3rd down and 3. They've got to get to the 20. Can they get to the 20? Hurts. Barkley to his left. Slot to the near side. Wing to the near side. Hurts. Barkley. 1st down. 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown! Barkley! There it is. 23-yard explosion.
That's the one they needed.
Hurts under center. He goes with a pitch to Barkley. Barkley across the 30. 25, 20, 15, 10. Goodbye!
Hello.
Another one.
Hello. Hello.
He's 40 yards.
He's unbelievable. And, you know, it starts with this offensive line. They create such a big hole for him. But then once he gets to the second level, it's look out. He finds his way to pay dirt once again.
4:38 remaining, and the Eagles have taken this game and broken it apart.
They just blew this thing open.
Once again, Eagles Radio Network, 20 points in the fourth quarter for Philadelphia. And sure, the Commanders were able to get into the end zone, but only after they surrendered a pair of Saquon Barkley TDs sandwiched around an interception by Jaden Daniels. And I didn't love their sense of urgency. So kind of odd to me that they would go for it on fourth and two when they're in field goal range with a chance to take the lead. But then they get the ball following the second Saquon touchdown. They're still trailing by two scores, though it would be two touchdowns and 2-point conversions. But instead of trying to maximize the time left on the clock, which is about 4.5 minutes, it seems like they're just plodding along. It doesn't seem to be much of a sense of urgency in that moment, allowing large chunks of time to run off the clock in between plays, not hustling up to the line of scrimmage, not trying to get out of bounds. It was odd. The clock just kept rolling and rolling and rolling. So you go for it on fourth down when it's probably not advisable. Fourth and two. We're not even talking about fourth and one or less than one. We're talking about fourth and two. But you don't show that sense of urgency when now you really have to score. Instead, the Eagles able to recover the onside kick and slam the door officially. And now six in a row for Philadelphia. But what about the Commanders? We've seen them against one of their best opponents here in their own division, and also the Steelers last week, and the way they finished, just not getting the rhythm, just not finding, at any point, really finding something that worked against that Eagles defense. So a couple of plays here or there. Again, Austin Ekeler, he was able to break a few loose, but he was their top receiver as well, so they didn't have a whole lot in the passing game.
Vic and their group's got a good group. You know, they played aggressive and go. And, you know, we'll be back at them again in, you know, 5 or 6 weeks. So, you know, we'll get plenty of chances to look at it. But, yeah, this one, you know, just not being delivering like we were really ready to go fight for it. And when you don't do that, you know, obviously you're pissed and you're bummed.
So Dan Quinn points to the fight and not being ready for this game, short work week, all of that, of course. But what about Terry McLaurin? The fact that he had just one catch, and how about only two targets for their top wide receiver? Without him, you're missing a major element of the offense. And that's kind of the yin and the yang of it. Sure, Austin Ekeler had some good runs and actually had a handful of catches. Zach Ertz was involved. But if you don't have a Terry McLaurin, you've got a ceiling, right? They were never able to blow the ceiling off the offense.
First and foremost, Terry McLaurin is a phenomenal football player. Man, I liked him coming out. When I was in Indy, he's an Indianapolis kid. We did a lot of work on him and just really think the world of him, the player, the person. He's been awesome in his career. With that being said, I think our guys did a nice job going against him. I think it started up front. We were able to get some pressure on the quarterback and force some scrambles, and we did a good job plastering on some of those scrambles, but just good team defense.
Absolutely. It was a matter of the line of scrimmage all the way to the back levels of the defense, and the Eagles now sitting at 8-2, they've got the leg up on the Commanders. And of course, they'll meet again. But I think you can see the difference between a contender with a bunch of veteran leaders. I know they've changed coordinators 87 times in the last few years, the Eagles have. But they certainly have pieces on the field that just have seen more in the NFL and have a little more experience. Jalen Hurts, of course, being the quarterback. But to add a Saquon Barkley to that backfield, it's as impactful as adding Derrick Henry to the Ravens' backfield. In fact, Barkley, because they've got this Thursday game, is now the NFL's rushing leader, 1,137 yards in 10 games. So he's happy, he's healthy, he's motivated by what he perceives as the offseason slight by the team that drafted him, and he's making this great impact because they're putting him in positions to succeed. And I love that he's patient, too. So he's talked about this, talked about not worrying whether he gets the certain number of carries in the first half. Instead, just wants to go and run the ball and take that ball when they need him, and always gives credit to the offensive line.
They're always amazing. They're always amazing. And it's only going to get tougher. We were putting up a lot of rushing yards and gaining a lot of respect. And, you know, that's going to be a mindset for teams coming in the game, make sure that We don't do that because, you know, when we get the running game going, it's kind of hard to beat our team.
146 rushing yards for Barkley, 228 for the Eagles, and by far they are the team that runs the ball more than any other in the NFL. Now coming up, we'll ask Philadelphia radio host John Kincaid of 97.5 The Fanatic if they finally found their identity, because that was a big question at the end of last season coming into this season. As for the Commanders, I still say they're way ahead of schedule. They hate to lose. Jaden Daniels, you can see it in the body language. But you kind of understand where they are as a team that's rebuilding.
I mean, I'm frustrated because we lost, so I don't like losing. I said that many a time, so but I feel like everybody could play better, including myself, man. It starts with me, and it trickles down to everybody else, so we got to look ourselves in the mirror.
The Commanders are still very much in line for a playoff spot, sitting at 7-4. They've dropped back-to-back games against two of their tougher opponents, Eagles on top of the NFC East. But you look around the NFC, and the Vikings have 7 wins. The Packers could get to 7 wins with a victory over the Bears this weekend. But there are 2 entire divisions in the NFC that don't have any teams with 7 wins. So the Commanders are still, again, way ahead of schedule and I think sitting pretty in the NFC. Coming up, John Kincaid of 97.5 The Fanatic. Vote for the After Hours Game of the Week. Also, the After Hours Hall of Fame inductee of your choice at A-Law Radio and then on our Facebook page. Thanks for joining us. Happy Friday to you from the Infinity Sports Network.
A ton of perseverance out there today. It took everyone as a team, you know, and it comes down to winning. You know, winning is the main thing. It will always be the main thing. And it takes what it takes, you know, regardless of how it looks, what you have to go through to get it. You know, we'll grow through this situation and this experience in the game. Win, lose, or draw, we want to grow from every situation. But to be able to stay at it, find a way, stick together, that was pleasing.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of one Jalen Hurts, and yeah, some of the waves they had to ride. Jake Elliott missing a pair of field goals and an extra point, leading just 12-10 about midway through that fourth quarter, not scoring a touchdown until the fourth quarter. But man, another win for the Eagles, and this time against division rival Washington. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Pleased to welcome our friend and Philadelphia radio host, John Kincaid from 97.5 The Fanatic. When you hear Jalen Hurts talk about the adversity they faced and coming out with the win at the end, how would you evaluate this particular win for them?
Well, I realized that Jalen had probably walked through a Dick's Sporting Goods and just wrote down every cliche that's on the T-shirt that they sell. Because I have no idea. I have no idea what he said.
It's pleasing.
I really don't. I think I don't get much out of them. It's like fortune cookies, and I can't get it. But what I know, Amy, is that they wake up 8-2, and Jalen has yet to play a complete game. And they still keep winning and doing the things that are putting them in a great position to win this division. And that's always first step. Win the division, guarantee yourself a home game. And that Washington team's spunky, but very much like in the Super Bowl, Dan Quinn makes some really, really strange decisions. And I used to see them firsthand when I was in Atlanta.
Right, right. So the 4th-and-2.
Oh, my gosh. I can't understand it. Amy, you're the underdog. You're on the road. You got a rookie quarterback. Your team's putting up a spunky, real scrappy effort. You take the lead in the fourth quarter, and the Eagles' offense to that point had put up 12 points.
Mm.
Take the lead 13-12. Give your team another feel-good moment of, hey, we're ahead. And then maybe your defense, maybe they get a turnover. Maybe they do something. I can tell you, Dan Quinn complicates things a lot. And he's got that team playing well. And it's very admirable, but last night I think he really cost his team a victory by not taking the lead in the fourth quarter. He didn't give them the best chance to win.
And weirdly enough, contrast that aggressive move on 4th-and-2 when you're in field goal range with how they played their touchdown drive, where it felt like large chunks of the clock would dwindle down while they were meandering back up to the line. It didn't seem like there was any sense of urgency on that final touchdown drive.
Well, Amy, it was weird because, you know, back in the day, you know, in Atlanta, I would, you know, listen to Dan Quinn speak on a weekly basis. And he would many times talk about the, you know, strategies of games. And one of the things that he would say, you know, you're on the road, you want to shorten the game. So he would talk about that. So I knew going in last night, okay, they're going to want to take time off the clock. They want to limit possessions. You don't want that Eagles offense to have the more possessions they get, they're just more dangerous. They're the top scoring team in the NFL after the second quarter. But honestly, they should just start the Philly game now in the second quarter. Let the other team have a little bit of a lead. Start the game in the second quarter. I have no idea what the scripted plays are that they're putting together, but the scripts are terrible. I mean, it's like a bad episode of Days of Our Lives. I mean, it is like you don't know what's going to come week to week. By the second quarter, it usually gets rolling, and this team's 8-2, and right there in the heels of the Detroit Lions.
You tweeted during the game, I think you weren't the only one, the Eagles might have a kicker problem. Do they? Do they have a kicker problem?
He's missed every 50-yard field goal this year.
Right, he hasn't made one over 50.
That's crazy, 50 yards plus. Jake the Make is his nickname here in town for a reason. It has not been that way this year. And a reliable kicker from 50, you've got to have. And whether it was, I think it was the worst night Jake's ever had as an Eagle. Okay, so that's fine. He never usually misses two field goals, let alone two field goals in a quarter. You never see that happen. But then the extra point, too, I hope he doesn't have the yips. I wouldn't be shocked if they, I hope not. I wouldn't be shocked, though, if they started to have a little bit of mild concern about it, though. If you can't have a reliable kicker from 50 in today's game, it is a problem.
At the end of last year and then on into this season with the changing of coordinators, and you and I have had conversations about this.
Sure.
Identity was one of the things the Eagles were lacking. What is their identity now?
Well, they're the number one rushing team. I mean, they're the team that's going to run the ball. Do you know, Amy, they're on pace right now to rush the ball the second most times of any team in NFL history.
Wow.
How about that for you?
That's
in the modern era. Modern era. So we're talking like the 70s on AFL, NFL together. Okay? So when they merged the two leagues. They're unbelievably the amount of time they're dedicating to running the ball. And what did they do? At the bye week when they were 2-2, you had the offensive line leadership go in. So you had them walk into Nick Sirianni's office and they said, we used to be dominant by the offensive line, and now you've got the offensive line and we've also got Saquon. Let's use them. And I know our fine listeners in New York, I just want to thank you. It's very rare that one city extends such love to another city. But the decision to let Saquon Barkley go and to let him go to a team in their own division just points to the ineptitude of the Giants. It's horrendous that you would let the individual go and that you would let this talent go. Because I got to tell you, Amy, he has taken the town by storm. He's home. He's playing for the team he loved as a kid. And boy, does Philly love him back.
And CJ Gardner-Johnson saying the same thing at his locker last night. Thank you, New York. You did us a solid. Thank you so much. Props to you.
You didn't hear the crowd after the game on the crowd on Amazon. They had their, you know, their desk set up down there on the field, and the fans were chanting, "Thank you, New York." They were thanking. It's very kind of them. You know, it's just a great gesture, and it's a great way to sort of reach across the borders of the state of New Jersey where they're from. I don't know why they're not the New Jersey Giants, but we can get into that another time.
John Kincaid is with us on this edition of After Hours with Amy Lawrence from Philadelphia. They're going to be happy on this Friday as the team rattles off another win. They're now sitting at 8-2, one of the best records in the NFL. So, John, the defense, I thought, did really well against the Commanders, and the Terry McLaurin piece is huge because the top receiver in this game for the Commanders actually wasn't a receiver. It was Austin Ekeler. Then it was Zach Ertz. So what happened to Terry McLaurin?
Terry McLaurin, I don't know if I think he showed up because his name is on the score sheet. We just didn't see him. And that is because the Eagles' young defense, and I mean young, is playing incredibly. And I don't know if you saw the tweet that was put out before the game last night where Reed Blankenship, who got the critical fourth quarter interception, and then Cooper DeJean, the young rock star here in Philadelphia, were showing up to the game with their T-shirt, Exciting Whites. They were, that's their nickname. These two guys are having a blast. Their teammates love them. And Vic Fangio has come here and created just an energy about the defense. They're playing all the kids. They have such a young side of the ball now. And with an offense that is star-loaded and still finding their way, somehow Vic Fangio is making chicken salad out of what a lot of people thought was something different. And it's incredible because the Miami Dolphins were too emotionally fragile to handle the toughness of a Vic Fangio. And all the Georgia guys on this Eagles defense that are now having great years, like N'Kobe Dean and Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith, they all rave about the fact that they're getting tough coaching because that's what they came from. They came from in-your-face, tough, demanding coaching, and they're thriving because of it. This guy has made a huge impact. Mm. Kellen Moore, not so much. Not so much. We're not really seeing what Kellen's up to because, again, his scripts are terrible. I mean, it's pretty bad.
So then 1-for-2 on the coordinators. I know we've talked about Nick Sirianni. Would you say that the start of the season, now granted they fell off the map at the end of the last season,
Sure. Would
you say the start of the season has maybe turned down the heat under Sirianni?
Oh, it most certainly has. I mean, he's done a really nice job. And I think the fact, too, is, Amy, it's like anybody in any walk of life. If what you are doing and what you're trying to do isn't working, you better be listening. You better be listening to people that are trying to tell you this is what needs to be done. Sirianni has shown that he can learn and he can listen. Now, let me just tell you, he is, honestly, he's one step from the cuckoo's nest. I mean, he is just, there's a straitjacket somewhere with his name on it. At some point, we're going to have another one of his major meltdowns where he's going to bring his kids to the post-game press conference, or he's going to shave his head like he's in Taxi Driver, or he's going to like do something nuts because it's just who he is. But his teams really enjoy playing for him. And that's pretty uniform. They enjoy him. They come to work for him, and they support him every opportunity they have behind a microphone.
So you no longer believe there's an issue between he and Jalen?
Let's put it this way. Do I think they're doing the 2-for-$15 appetizer at Applebee's? Nah, I don't. I don't. I believe that they're making nice publicly. I don't believe either guy is each other's kind of guy. But their communication has been impeccable since the bye week. I think that actually both men have worked on it. And I always believed, and I think I've said this to you before, the problem was more Hurts with Sirianni than the opposite. Mm. Jalen's a guy who played for Nick Saban, and he played for his father as a football coach. And then you get Nick Sirianni, and honestly, he's like the goofy neighbor on any sitcom. He's just like the guy who's going to walk in the door and you don't know what he's going to say because you never know with Nick Sirianni. Mm. And I think they're just not each other's type of guys, but they're finding a way to make it work, and I credit both men for that.
Winning cures a lot of those personality conflicts,
really
to be
does.
Sure. Yeah,
sure
it definitely does. Okay, so a couple of questions that have nothing to do with football, but since you and I are allies, I'm going to just go ahead and admit I made the major office gaffe on Thursday afternoon. I did a reply all with my holiday schedule. So it went out to about, I don't know, 80, 90 people. And it took me 30 seconds. I started getting some of those server responses back, like this email no longer active. And I thought,
and
what
like,
the heck?
Oh, no.
Oh, mortified.
Now, here's what I want to know. And being part of that organization in the past, I want to know how many people, because I would have emailed you back and mocked you. For
yeah.
It.
Oh, I got a few of those.
I mocked you for it. You did.
I did.
Those are the people that you know deep down love you. They're the people that will take the time to mock their sister. If they didn't, the people who don't mock you, they don't care about you enough.
Let's hope they didn't
read
it.
The people who want to roast you, they want to do that. Now everybody knows your schedule now.
Yes,
so that's good.
Right.
So now everybody can breathe. Everybody can relax. Around, you know, the stock price isn't going to crash or anything. Now they can plan accordingly. Wall Street knows now. This is good. It's good.
Right.
We know that.
Yeah.
Come
I mean, it's a little bit embarrassing.
Email,
as though,
Hit
as though.
Right button, for God's sake. Married life has melted your head.
That's true. Naps are a thing of the past.
Together.
Exactly.
You were much more together.
Agreed.
As a single woman.
Yes, I slept more as a single woman. I don't sleep much anymore. Naps have completely gone by the wayside.
Hey, now, that's another topic.
All right.
All right. That's a little racy.
I should have known.
After dark, I'm telling you. It is. Woo!
Okay. Only you, John Kincaid. One more thing. What do you remember about this time last year and where you were and what you were doing?
I was waiting for the word that I was cancer-free after my final chemotherapy treatments, and I'm thrilled that this week I got the word that I went through a battery of tests the last 3 weeks. I've been like a lab rat. And I am proud to say that my bones are clear, my lymphatic system's clear, my blood is clear. I am cancer free, and I thank everybody who sent prayers my way and supported me and everything like that, because it's a huge relief. And honestly, I realized that I consider myself very mentally tough, and it's weird, but I like this. All this testing, waiting for them all to come back, was honestly the most stressed and the most anxiety I've ever felt in my whole life.
Wow.
And so I thank everybody in their lives that props up people when they need to be propped up. And I love them all for it. Mm. So it's great. Now I can just get back to being ornery on the radio.
Uncomfortable radio.
And on, by the way, 2 hours, 43 minutes sleep. So I just
because you went to the game. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, by the time I got out, and traffic in Philadelphia, whoever drew up the stadium complex exit traffic, it was on the back of a drunken cocktail napkin, because it took forever to get out last night.
Watch out. John Kincaid is on his game. He's taking aim, so just beware. It's ready, aim, fire on this edition of the show. You can find him online at John Kincaid and 97.5 The Fanatic, getting set for his show coming up in 20 minutes. It's the best news I heard all week, my friend. I love you tons. I'm so glad that you got this amazing news.
I love you too, and I love Pete, and everybody with CBS Sports Radio. Take care, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Thanks, sir.
Can you hear the joy in his voice? But I didn't even think about going through the testing. I thought, man, that would be tough to wait for the news a year later, recognizing that these are important scans, right, to make sure the cancer hasn't returned. If you don't know John's story, it was more than a year ago, obviously, but he was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer, and they treated it extremely aggressively. And John is so beloved, not just in Philadelphia where he's from, but also in Atlanta, where he spent years and years as a radio host there. We worked together at my previous network, and then of course started here together. And so we were praying in my household. I know a lot of people were praying and supporting him, but even a year out, to know that you've beaten the cancer, but have to wait through this battery of tests to be sure that it's gone completely and has not returned. I'm sure many of you can identify with that. Many of you, I know, because I've got friends and family who are dealing with cancer and going through chemo even now. And I hope that John's story gives you hope and inspiration and reminds you that you are not alone. And that's one of the great things that John does. He shares his story because he recognizes that it can help other people. He's not one to keep that to himself, no matter how hard it is. He lives his life so that he can support, encourage, inspire other people. And I'm just so proud to be his friend, so proud to say that I prayed along with him and that his cancer is gone, as in for reals gone. At A-Law Radio, we've got the votes tabulated. A few still coming in on our Facebook page, but the After Hours Hall of Fame inductee, you still got the Game of the Week poll up. We've got to look at Ravens Steelers, because that's another incredible option on this Week 11 schedule. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
Well, Amy, it was tough sledding for most of the night, but the Eagles able to break loose in the fourth.
Hurts under center. He goes with a pitch to Barkley. Barkley across the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. Goodbye!
Hello. Another one! Hello! Hello!
He's 40 yards!
He's unbelievable.
Pair of touchdown runs for Saquon Barkley in the fourth quarter, part of a 26-carry, 146-yard night. The Eagles topped Washington 26-18. Call courtesy of the Eagles Radio Network. Philadelphia, 20 points in the fourth. That put it to bed. Jalen Hurts, 221 yards passing, another 39 on the ground and a score. Jaden Daniels, 191 yards in the air, touchdown and a pick. Eagles 8-2. Washington sits at 7-4. Elsewhere, Tyreek Hill opting to wait until after the season to have wrist surgery, deciding to play through the pain during the season. Chiefs lost kicker Harrison Butker to a knee injury. He was placed on IR. Bills expected to have wide receiver Amari Cooper back against Kansas City. He would be playing with a cast for his injured wrist. Meanwhile, just one game in the NBA, and it came right down to the wire.
Lucas guarding John Collins. Clarkson with 5 on the clock. Now starts the play. Bullets into Collins, who's unguarded and dunks. Oh, Luka forgot his man.
Look at Clarkson.
Jordan Clarkson with a one-hand bullet to John Collins, who grabbed it and dunked.
John Collins, 28 points, including that go-ahead dunk. Jazz up in the Mavericks, 115-113. Luka Doncic poured in 37, but that defensive lapse allowed Utah to escape with the victory. Call courtesy of the Jazz Radio Network. College football, East Carolina outscored Tulsa 38-31. Hockey, the Lightning cooled off the Jets, just their second loss on the season, snaps their 7-game win streak by the final of 4-1. Flyers outlasted the Senators 5-4 in overtime. Rangers withstood the Sharks 3-2. Devils were at the Panthers 6-2. Sabres escaped the Blues in overtime 4-3. Islanders rolled the Canucks 5-2. Kraken topped the Blackhawks 3-1. Stars dominate the Bruins 7-2. Edmonton upended the Predators 3-2 in OT. And the Wild shut out Montreal 3-0. And with Tropicana Field unplayable due to hurricane damage, the Rays announced they'll be playing at the Yankee Spring Training Facility in Tampa for this season. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram.
Talking about practice.
On After Hours, the biggest meltdowns in sports history.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I want to eat his children.
Are immortalized with an infamous distinction.
Can't do it.
They are who we thought they were.
You play to win the game.
Now it's time for Amy Lawrence to bring you tonight's candidates for the After Hours Hall of Fame.
Put that in your
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Oh, so good. One of my favorite things that we do on the show, going back now almost a decade. Your candidates on this edition of After Hours, Paul Maurice. He's inebriated, excited, and happy at the Panthers ticker tape parade. Craig Carton filling in on Yankees Radio Network to cringeworthy types of calls. Jerry Jones. Because, you know, when he gets mad, he takes it out on little people. Sorry, Sean and RJ. And Darren Rizzi, who does not understand the V-chip that you need to have as an NFL head coach. And the votes are tabulated overwhelmingly. Producer Pete, our winner is...
Now, if you think I'm interested, I'm on a damn phone call with you over a radio... And sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions. I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you.
Okay, so he apologized a week later after the radio gold that went viral on our Dallas affiliate 105.3 The Fan with Sean and RJ. Oh, yeah, that's the type of attention you can't pay for. It's the type of PR that you can't buy. Jerry did apologize, but after he threatened the radio host, because, of course, it's their fault.
Don't be stupid.
The Cowboys suck this year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thank you for voting. I dare say people on Facebook are going to continue voting through the weekend. While you're there, of course, on either of our social media sites, you can pick the After Hours game of the week. That poll runs through Sunday when the first games kick off. And I did do a bit of a bait and switch on our Facebook page. I put in a game that was not on Twix just because the Commanders and Eagles were already done. It's a healthy competition between Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens Steelers right now for the game of the week. And really looking forward to it. We know for Russell Wilson, it's his first taste of Steelers and Ravens. And so he's been part of other rivalries, but not this one.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be physical. It's going to be a great game, you know, and a lot of great players on both sides of the football. Obviously, there's a lot of history here, you know, and you know, we got to bring our best.
That's true. And this is a battle of two teams sitting at 7 wins, though the Ravens have one more loss. And it's about the run game for both of these teams, actually, different degrees of the run game. But the fact that Derrick Henry is second in the NFL in rushing since he joined the Ravens, second only to Saquon Barkley, who's just a few yards ahead of him now after last night. We know about Lamar Jackson with Todd Monken as the offensive coordinator. He's not just a running quarterback. That is an inaccurate description of Lamar. The reigning MVP is accurate right now, and with Derrick Henry taking some of the load off, that passing game has really opened up. But of course, they're a run-first team, and they do have an offensive line that can help them to do it. Let's see how much Deontay Johnson can kind of get worked into the mix now so they can maybe extend the field. But right now, Lamar Jackson leads the league in QB rating and touchdown passes. And this is the most potent offense in the NFL going into week number 11. Steelers, though, they also need to run the ball. Najee Harris, he's been critical for them. He's running, he's playing some of the best football of his career, but he's running so well that you can't just game plan for Russell Wilson, who looks like he's got a new lease on his NFL career. And the way that he's connected with George Pickens and what we've seen from the Steelers offense since he took over 3 games ago has been terrific. So a pair of 7-win teams that will match up in that early window on Sunday. By the way, I saw this post on our Facebook page. We have to end with this, producer Pete. Our 2-year-old dog wakes up every morning as soon as your show ends at 5 a.m. Central Time, wants to go out. He hears the boom. Well, Dennis, this is for your dog. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom! Boom!